We're going to be starting a new series over the book of Malachi. Some of you are like, I did not even know that there was a book in the Bible called Malachi. Malachi is in the Old Testament. It's actually the last book of the Old Testament. And here's the good news. It's only four chapters, amen? All right. So we're going to be diving into this for the next, actually, 5 weeks because we're going to have our Be the Church on August the 6th. But I love the book of Malachi. And here's the reason I've been challenged by the book of Malachi in my life lately, and maybe you also will be challenged in the same way. There are times in my life where I feel like I am doing the right thing. I am trying to be obedient by walking after God in my life, but I feel like I'm going through the motions. Anybody been there before? Like I feel like I'm numb. I feel like there's no joy in what I am doing. And many times I feel like, you know what, I did that. Check that box off. Check that box off. I went to church this morning. Man, I made 3 weeks out of four this month. Like, check that box off. I gave my tithe. Check that box off. All right. I served in kids ministry. Check that box off. And many times we get into our lives and it's nothing more than a box being checked. Maybe that's where you are this morning. Because there's times in my life where that comes and goes in my life. And those are times that we really want to be careful. Because here's what happens in those times, and here's what's taking place in the book of Malachi. God's chosen people, the people of Israel, God had given them a promise through Moses, handed down to Abraham, to Isaac, and then on to the people here. And what happened is the people of Israel are just like you and me. They love God, but they forgot how awesome God is. They love God, but became very ritualistic of how they do things. And what would happen in the Old Testament, you see, the Holy Spirit has always been around, but until Jesus came, the Holy Spirit did not dwell in the life of a Christ follower. So we had the Old Testament scriptures, but we also had where God would raise up men and women called prophets who would come with the Word of God. And during this time, the book of Malachi, this is the last prophet that God would raise up before 400 years of silence. Some of you think that you haven't heard from God in a long time. Take 400 years from when Malachi leaves the scene until Jesus comes and John the Baptist comes and says, prepare the way for the risen Lord. And so Malachi, he comes a word from the Lord and he says, you know what, Israel? I mean, you're checking all the right boxes, you're doing all the right things, but you're missing it. You're missing it. There's a story of a man who came to his pastor. This guy was named Nate. And Nate, he loved the Lord. And he was one of those guys that he was at every church service. I mean, he was, whenever the pastor wanted something done, like Nate and his wife were there. I mean, they were the people who were serving and who were giving and who were 100% in. But Nate came to his pastor one day and he says, you know what, pastor, I feel like I'm just doing things. I feel like I'm going through the motions. And it kind of shocked the pastor because, I mean, he was the guy, you would think the one person who was all in for the church would be the one person who would have joy in their lives. But Nate came to his pastor and said, you know what, I feel like I'm just being sucked dry. And so obviously it kind of somewhat disturbed his pastor. So they sat down and they started talking about it. And what was happening in the life of Nate is Nate was doing all the right things, but he was neglecting one thing. He was neglecting his personal relationship with God the Father because he was substituting some of those times, those intimate times with God as far as getting in His Word and having that prayer time. And he was doing some good things. He was serving. He was doing all of these things, but he was neglecting the one thing that you and I neglect many times in our lives. And that's the time, that's that personal relationship that we have with God the Father, because those are those times, those are the moments where you and I get filled up. Anybody been there before? I mean, you maybe this morning you're just drained. You're like, Brandon, I'm doing all the right things, and you just feel drained in your life. Here's my question to you. When is the last time you had some awesome God time? When is the last time you have just sat at the feet of Jesus and said, God, you know, here I am, Lord. I just want you to pour into me. I want you to build me up. I want you to encourage me. But maybe your life is a lot like mine. Like, it's hard to find time. Any amen on that? I mean, we have got our schedules. We've got kids. We've got work. We've got all of these things that we're going to do. And so when we find ourselves in that moment of feeling like we're going through the motions, that's exactly what's taking place here in the book of Malachi. And I love God's word so much because when we find ourselves in these situations, God's word has the answer. Did you know that? God's word has the answer. And so Malachi comes with a word from the Lord to the people of Israel and says, hey boys, it's time to step it up. You're just going through the motions. And so Malachi gives them five things. We're going to call them five antidotes, all right, to get us out of that crazy cycle that we find ourselves in. Many times in our life, we're doing the right thing, but there is no joy in our salvation. There's no joy in following Jesus. And we get tired, and when we get tired, we leave and we stop doing what God has called us to do because we have neglected the one thing that Jesus desires, and that is just a relationship with Him. So you've got your Bibles, Malachi chapter 1. We're going to be diving in here, and we're going to read through the first chapter. We're going to kind of come back and unpack here just for the next few minutes as we have together. So here we go. Malachi chapter 1, verse 1. It says, a prophecy is just a word from the Lord. The word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. Israel doubts God's love. Maybe you could put your name in there this morning. Israel doubts God's love. I have loved you, says the Lord, but you ask, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord, yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated, and I have turned his hill country into a wasteland and left his inheritance to the desert jackals. Edom may say, though we may have been crushed, we will rebuild the ruins. But this is what the Lord Almighty says. They may build, but I will demolish. They will be called the wicked land, a people always under the wrath of the Lord. Anybody lost right now? Like you're hearing some names here. I want to stop just for a moment because you're going to like, how does this fit into the story at all? Okay. We have got people. We've got Esau and we've got Jacob. All right. And we've got the Edomites. Now, Esau and Jacob were Isaac's sons. Isaac was the son of Abraham. Okay, you following me here? All right. The Abraham is the one that God came to and says, I'm going to keep my promise with you. All people will be blessed through you. Through the line of Abraham comes King David. And soon down the road comes King Jesus. So this is the lineage, all right, of the promise of God. So what we have here is basically Abraham's grandsons, Esau and Jacob. Esau and Jacob were twins. Any twins in here this morning? All right. They were twins, but Esau was the older brother by just a moment. All right. Now, during that time in the Old Testament, all right, the older brother would get the birthright. All right. He would basically, I'm not saying this is fair at all, especially for poor Jacob here. Okay, they're twins, but it just happened to be that Esau comes out first. And it actually says that Jacob was clenching his brother's ankle as they came out because I'm sure he thought, I want the birthright. Esau gets the birthright. And the birthright it's a special privilege and advantage for being the older child. I mean, as if the older kids aren't the special ones anyway. You know what I mean? Like, I'm the youngest and I always get deprived. Anybody else? We don't like the older, I'm totally kidding. All right. But Esau was the oldest child. They were twins. You can imagine Jacob was a little unsettled about that. And what's up with this? Why does Esau get this? Okay, so he beat me by a few seconds. And so during that time, if you know the story, we don't have time this morning to go into it. Genesis chapter 25 talks about it more in depth if you've got time for that. But Jacob tricks Esau for giving him his birthright. And so Jacob now has the birthright, legitly. And so obviously Esau, not very happy about that. Who's ever tricked their brother or sister in there and be like, I got him! You know, and that's what Jacob is doing. He's like, I got him! And so Esau becomes very bitter. He becomes very bitter because Jacob now holds the rights to the birthright in the family. And from that time on, Esau, listen to this, we find ourselves in situations sometimes that aren't fair. We find ourselves sometimes in situations where someone does something wrong to us, where someone neglects us. And we have a choice in that moment how we respond to that. Esau chose to neglect the things of God, so he became the Edomites, which it says Edom here. They were people who God's word says were very wicked. From that day on, they chose to sustain from the things of God and follow their own carnal knowledge, all right? So this is what he's talking about here is from this point on, Jacob follows the Lord. Esau does not, all right? And so he becomes the Edomites. Everybody's still confused. You're confused even more, aren't you? Okay, we're going to keep going, all right? The second half of verse 4 says, they will be called the wicked land, talking about Esau and his family here, a people always under the wrath of the Lord. You will see it with your own eyes and say, great is the Lord, even beyond the borders of Israel. A son honors his father and a slave his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due to me? If I am a master, where is the respect due to me? Says the Lord Almighty, it is you priests who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? By offering defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is not that wrong? When you offer sacrifice lame or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. Verse 9. Now plead with God to be gracious to us. With such offerings from your hands, will he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. Oh, that one of you would shut the temple doors so that you would not light useless fires on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty, and I will accept no offerings from your hands. Verse 11. Hang on there. My name will be great amongst the nations, from where the sun rises to where it sets, in every place incense and pure offerings will be brought to me, because my name will be great amongst the nations, says the Lord. You profane it by saying the Lord's table is defiled and its food is contemptible, and you say, what a burden, and you sniff it out contemptuously, says the Lord, when you bring injured, lame, or diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices. Should I accept them from your hand, says the Lord? Verse 14. Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations. Whew! Let's pray together. Father, we come before you. Speak through your word. Lord, humble me right now, God. Lord, may your words flow through me, God. May you challenge us through your word. Lord, my words are completely meaningless, God. God, I pray, Lord, that you would challenge us in such a way, Father. I pray, God, that you would speak to us in a way that challenges us right where we are today, God, in 2017, from a scripture that took place thousands of years ago, Lord, because your word has power, God, and it is active. And you were the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So, God, we welcome you in this place. We pray these things in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. There's five things we're going to run through real quickly, all right? I'm going to get you here out of time, maybe, okay? The first thing, the antidote when we find ourselves going through the motions as Christ followers, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down, is that we must humble ourselves before God with reverence and respect. We must humble ourselves before God with reverence and respect. Verse 6. It says, a son honors the father and a slave a master. If I am a father, where is the honor due to me? If I am a master, where is the respect due to me, says the Lord Almighty? It is you, priests, who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? There's the word honor. We don't use the word honor very often anymore. That's a word that's used many times in God's word. Many of us know honor. You know, in the Ten Commandments, what does it say, kids? Honor your father and your mother. And it's like, we kind of get to that point in our lives. And that word honor means to have the highest respect for that person. Parents, can I just speak to you just for a second about the word respect as it pertains to your kids? You know the cool thing about being a parent is it's a great obligation, but it's also a great blessing as well, that you and I have the opportunity to instill in our kids what it means to respect people. Because here's what happens. If our kids do not learn the understanding of respecting people, they will take that relationship and they will fast forward that to their relationship with God. So if they have no respect for you and respect for others around you, that relationship, they will have a hard time ever giving their life to Christ because there's a lack of respect. Now you're thinking, where did that come from? Because God's word says that we should honor him, honor our fathers and our mothers, and that's one of those words that we don't use very often, honor. And we have the awesome responsibility as moms and dads and grandparents and aunts and uncles to instill in our kids a respect, not only for you, but for those around you. Because one day that understanding of what that respect looks like, of surrendering before God, that respect, understanding that relationship will come in handy with their relationship with God. God says, I'm a father, I'm a master, I expect honor, I expect reverence. Far more significant than the gifts on the altar is the heart of the worshiper. God wants to find a heartfelt attitude of honor and respect towards him. Here's what's happening here, is the people were going through the motions. We read this time and time again, they were bringing... Let me stop just for a second. In the Old Testament, they would bring unblemished lambs. They would bring things before God for their sins. All right? There's always had to be a blood sacrifice for the pain of sins. All right? So before Jesus came, where he dwelt, he died on the cross as our final sacrifice, that blood sacrifice, that perfect sacrifice. In the Old Testament, before Jesus came, there has always been a penalty for sin, and it always had to do with blood. So what was happening here is God told the people of Israel, for you to be forgiven of your sins in this time, that you must bring your unblemished lamb, and maybe if you didn't have as much money, maybe as far as a bird or whatever it is. But what was happening here is they were bringing the leftovers. They were bringing the ones that would never sell at the market. Maybe the three-legged ones, or one that had sickness, or one that was lame, and all of these things. And they were bringing them to the house of God, and they're saying, oh God, here it is. And what was happening is, as we see here in verse 6, it says, it is you priests who show contempt for my name. So the priests, the ones who knew better, were taking these in, and they were offering a sacrifice before God. That was just nothing but a leftover. It's like you and I kind of going through the motions sometimes in our lives. Like you and I sometimes doing things because we're supposed to do things. But let's be honest, our heart is far and few between what we're doing in that moment. We must humble ourselves before God with reverence and respect. The second thing we see here is that we must give God our best, our first, and what cost us. Giving God our best. One of the things that we tell our kids time and time and time again, if you're going to do something, do it well. Don't waste your time half-heartedly doing things, because usually what happens is it ends up taking you longer to do it, because when you do it wrong, you got to go back and do it right the next time. So everything you do is what God's word says. Do it as unto the Lord. Now, that's not very fun when you're cleaning the toilet, is it? I mean, let's be honest. That's not very fun when you're doing laundry. That's not very fun when you're out on the oil rig and all the guys are driving you crazy and it's getting tough and it's getting sweaty. And it's hard in those moments. It is. It's very difficult. But God says, I want you to give me your best. I want you to give me your best. He also says, I want you to give me your first. You see, the people of Israel, they were giving him the very last. They were doing all of these things, and sometimes in our lives, we get caught up in doing a lot of good things. I got to be honest, this has been a rough week for me spiritually. Anybody have those weeks? There's been a couple of days I've neglected my time with God, and boy, have I paid for it. We were in Oklahoma City, and it probably showed in my attitude, honestly. It probably did. Hot and sweaty, and those times when you're not being filled up by the Word of God. You know what I'm talking about. Man, I felt like the people of Israel. You know, you're like, God, you know, we're going and sharing the good news. We're serving these kids. He's like, Brendan, it's not about that. It's about your heart in that moment. I would rather you stop what you're doing right now and just be with me. Just be still and know that I am God. Some of those on their team are like, yeah, you were a little cranky this week. You know what I mean? You were. And did I have time? Yes, I had a lot of time. I slept a lot at night. Went to the mall a couple of times to eat. And we find our lives and we get so busy, and many times the first thing that we neglect is our time with God. And every single time I pay for it. Because the outflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when that flowing ain't coming in, I can tell you this, the mouth ain't speaking things that are God glorifying. That was terrible English. And so the people of Israel, they have found themselves going through the motions. They have found themselves giving not their best. They were giving their leftovers. They weren't even giving their first or their second. They were giving what nobody else wanted. They were giving that moment right before you get so tired that you open up the Word of God and in 2 seconds you're asleep. Anybody? Come on. Amen. That's what they were giving God. They were giving God the leftovers. They weren't giving God the prime time, 7 through 9, your favorite TV. Listen, I'm right there with you here this morning, okay? They were giving God the leftovers. He says, no. I want your best. I want your first. He also says, I want what cost you. These last few weeks we've been talking about what it means, the cost of following after Jesus. You see, many times when we give away our first, when we give away our best, it costs us something. Because let's be honest, I mean, you could take that money, or you could take that thing, or you could take that time, and you could do a lot of things with it. But he says, I want your best, I want your first, and I want what costs you. There's a story in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 24, where King David, he wanted to offer a sacrifice before the Lord, and he goes to the guy at the market, and he says, you know what, I'm King David, I want to buy an animal so that I can sacrifice. He goes, I want your best. The man comes back to him, and he says, you know what, because you're King David, you know what, I just want you to have it. Just take it. And David refused because he knew, I want this to cost me something. He goes, I know when I give my best to God, it is going to cost me something. I know many times here at One Church, we've been talking about how we've been praying this summer for God's direction and God's leading and God, that He would just speak to us. And I'm just going to share one way how He's really been challenging me. End of August, 1st of September, we're really going to be laying out to you as a church family what that looks like and where we feel like God is leading and how we desperately need you to be on board and support and yes, and to give and to all of these needs that we might have. And one of the things God's really been challenging me on is I grew up in the Bible Belt. Everybody else? Anybody else in here? I grew up going to church. And I grew up in a church where I was turned off when people ever said anything about giving. Anybody been there before? Like, all they do is talk about money, money. All they do is they just want your money. Anybody else been there before? I mean, I'll raise my hand with that. And one of the things we talked about, we prayed about when God felt like we were gonna start One Church here, and God, we just want you to move, is one of the things we wanted to do. We don't want that to be a big deal. We don't want that to ever be a stumbling block before people. Because we believe giving to the Lord is something that comes from the heart. And that is one of the reasons that we don't pass an offering plate. There's nothing wrong with that. Please hear my heart here. Nothing wrong with that at all. But we never want that to be a stumbling block in someone who doesn't know Jesus when they come in and see that. We want it to be something that we give out of the goodness of what God has given us. But here's where I feel like that God has challenged me. We have been so this far that I have done a poor job of challenging you to give of your time, of your talents, and yes, your money. Because here's what I'm saying. God's Word talks about that time and time again. And I believe as God is laying out these things in the life of this church, you know, sometimes I'm like, God, you've got to come through here. God, you have got to move. And here's where God spoke to me. I want to share this with you. God said, Brandon, I have already given you the people. I have already given you the people. I have already given you the resources and the time and the talents before you. Why don't you let your people know that there's a need? Why don't you let your people know that there's a need here of serving in this capacity, or there's a need here financially in this area? See, sometimes I expect God just to do this great miracle. If he didn't do a great miracle, like, oh, all right, God, you didn't supply our needs. Anybody been there before? Like, honestly, I'm waiting for just a check just to come in and be like, you know what? We need more space, and I don't want to get into it all right now in a sense. But I believe God wants to do more. But here's the thing. God wants to use you. God wants to use me to make that happen. And so I apologize to you as your pastor for not spurring us on more and bringing it up to the forefront that you don't even know there's needs. Verse 8 says, when you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice lame or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you, says the Lord? He's basically saying, you know, try paying taxes with monopoly money. See how that works out for you, okay? I sure wish we could, I tell you that. Woo! Amen. Verse 9, now plead with God to be gracious to us. With such offerings from your hands, will he accept you, says the Lord Almighty. The third antidote for going through the motions, holding God in the highest regard. Verse 11 says, my name will be great amongst the nation. You see what was happening here? Not only were they just going through the motions, not only were they giving God not their best, is they were expecting God to move off of the blessing that he gave Abraham. You've been there before? Here's what I mean by that. That promise that God gives all the way through Moses, he says, you know what, it was under stipulations. If my people will obey my commandments, then I will bless their socks off. Paraphrased, all right? But the people of Israel, they were wanting God's blessings, but they were not willing to obey God's commandments. It's like, God, if you were lower the standard of what it looks like and what it means to follow after you, well, then I'm in, as long as I get the good stuff. But God, because he is holy, because he is righteous, because he is perfect, he cannot and will not lower his standard even for me or for you because of who he is. His desire is that through the working of the Holy Spirit that our lives will change, our standards will get higher, and we will choose to be obedient to his word no matter if there are any tangible blessings whatsoever. You see, worship of God is not for him, it's for us. Of course he loves it. But as we worship God, it changes you and it changes me when we give of our time and our talents and our finances. Here's the thing. God doesn't need our money. God doesn't need your money. This church doesn't need your money. But when we offer those before God, let me tell you something. It changes us. And so I want to challenge you this morning. Maybe you've never even thought about giving God your best. Maybe you've never even thought about giving God your first or serving, or giving of a financial capacity in a sense. I just want you to pray about it because I never want to talk you into anything. I never want you to do something because, oh, my pastor said I needed to do this. And that doesn't work that way. I pray that God would work in and through your heart and change you in such a way that your desire would be able to be obedient in that way. And because of that obedience, God will work in and through our lives. The fourth thing, the antidote of going through the motions, that we would have hearts that are broken and open before God. That we would have hearts that are broken and open before God. Rabbi Zacharias, who's a great apologist of the day, he says this, when man or woman is bored with God, even heaven does not have a better alternative. George Malone tells the story about a big Gothic cathedral in his hometown of Vancouver, British Columbia. This cathedral has colorful stained glass windows that were donated after the Second World War in honor of the men and women who gave of their lives. The windows illustrated pictures of soldiers. One day, he overheard a little boy asking his mother, "Mommy, who are those people?" Pointing to the stained glass windows, and she said, "Those are the people who died in the service." And he said, "Mommy, would that be the Sunday morning service or the Sunday evening service?" I don't want anybody dying this morning in the service, all right? But God says, "I want you to die every day. I want you to die to yourself. I want you to pick up your cross, and I want you to follow after me in your lives. Just watch what I do in and through your life. Just watch." The last thing, the last antidote for going through the motions is expect God to move on His terms. Got to be honest, sometimes I pray and I stop praying about things because I kind of give up. Anybody been there before? One of the things God's really challenged me about is I used to be one. Yeah, I'll pray for that. Hey, I can be praying for it. I'll pray for that and never do. Anybody been there before? And so I want to be very intentional about that. Man, if there's something you need to be prayed about, I want to pray with you like right there because, let's be honest, most of us will forget about it. If there's something that needs to be prayed, let's do it right there. I don't care if it's at Walmart. I don't care if it's right in the middle of the... Let's pray over that right now because we are such people of go, 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 go that we miss out. And sometimes we make a lot of empty promises. Right there with you. God says to His people and God says to us this morning, "Yeah, I see that you're in a difficult situation. I see that you're discouraged. I see that you are having a hard time even understanding my love for you. And I see that you are missing out because you're just going through the motions." So God uses Malachi, and it's the same word that He uses even today. Church, humble yourself before God. Give God your best, your first, and what costs you. Holding God to the highest regard and having hearts that are broken and open to God. And expect God to move on His terms. You see, God's people, the nation of Israel, we're almost done. You can read the Old Testament and it's... God's Word encourages me because I see that I am just like so many other people. I see that, yes, there's going to be times where we make bad choices. There's going to be times where we get back into the same thing that we used to be dabbling in. There's going to be times that we feel like we're that rodent getting on the thing going round and round. Sometimes in your marriage, sometimes in a relationship, sometimes in your job or whatever the situation is. Here's the thing that you see all through Scripture. Is God's understanding of how much He loves you. And He will go to the ends of the earth because of you. You see, if I'm God in that time, I'm like, I'm done. This is the nation of Israel. How many times do I need to tell you? Like, you thick-headed people. My wife tells me that. No, she doesn't, all right? You never learn. But because of God's compassion and mercy every single day. But here's the thing. I want to be honest with you. You see, if you look back in the first of Malachi chapter 1, there's a people called the Edomites. And God says, I have hatred towards them. You're thinking, whoa, wow. Did you know in the book of Romans it says for those of us who are not of part of God's family, for those of us who are living in that sin, that God, we are enemies of God. But here's the thing. He doesn't give us what we deserve. Your enemies, man, you're trying to get back at them. You're trying to do whatever you can to feign them on Facebook or Instagram or whatever that situation is. God's love is so great and so grand and so ever-present in our lives, even because we are enemies of His, He consumes us with His love and He gave us away because of Jesus. And His desire is that you would give your life to Him and that our lives would be a reflection of what He has done through us and an outflow of our heart for people around us. Would be, man, what's going on with him or her? What's so different about them? As we close, God says it's so much more than just doing. There's got to be times in our lives where we just want to be before God. We cannot neglect being in the presence of God and allowing Him just to love on us, allowing Him just to fill us up so that we can continue to do what God has called us to do. Maybe this morning you feel a lot like the people of Israel. You've been checking your boxes, but it just seems like there's no joy in your life. Or maybe you've had a week like mine where you just get cranky. That never happens to y'all, does it? And I know the source. God says, Brandon, I want you first. I want your best. Quit giving me the leftovers. And when you do, just expect me to work in and through your life. If you would just get out of the way and let me lead, I want to do something awesome in your life. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you. God, Lord, thank you for just loving us. God, thank you for your unconditional love. Lord, I know there's probably some people here this morning, Father, who doubt that. Who are feeling anything but loved. God, maybe there are some here this morning, God, who have never experienced what it means to know you and to give their life to you, God. Lord, I even pray in this moment right now, Father, that they would just have an honest conversation with you, Father. Lord, I want to pray for so many in this room, God, who are so faithful. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just renew our hearts and our minds. God, that you would renew our spirits, Father, Lord. I pray, God, even if we need to change some things in our life, change the order of what we do things, God, so that we can give you the best. We can give you our first. And God, that you would give us joy when we do serve. That you would give us joy in the midst of those difficult situations, Father. And God, even in the midst of those desert times in our lives where we don't hear you or see you, God, that our faith would sustain us. So God, use us this week. Speak to us, challenge us. And God, I pray as we leave this place in just a moment, Father, Lord, that we would be the church to those around us. Lord, that we would allow you, Lord, to work in and through our lives. So, Father, again, we love you and we praise you. And all God's people said, amen.